Super Duty Tough Work, the most infamous podcast on planet Earth. Missed a couple weeks. It's not our fault. Things are happening. Things are getting busy again. We're glad you're still with us. We're still here. But it is the spring. Releases are upon us. Shows are being booked and played. Music videos are being shot. These are the things that we have going on. Isn't that right, my man?
Yes, definitely. Definitely. Things are getting busy. Songs are being written.
Yes, they are. Beats are being sent back and forth. Email notifications and whatnot.
Right.
You've got mail.
Yeah.
Heat to the inbox.
Yes. Yes.
Midnight. Late hours of the evening.
Right.
But yeah, we here, folks. You know, the last couple weeks, you know, we shot a music video two weeks ago.
2 weeks ago, yeah.
You know what I mean? That's what was going on. Then last week, I had a show in Ontario, California, so I was not around. And, you know, those are the days we normally record. And so we have not been here, but it's not because we ain't been putting in the work. Not only that, we have things coming up, folks. The big one that you got to know about. If you in Columbus, the Falling Down album release show happening Saturday, April 27th at Ace of Cups, featuring performances by your boy Printnificence, your co-host, the illustrious Illogic. Brother J. Rawls is going to be there on the tables. What we talking about, folks? These are legends of the Columbus hip-hop scene. DJ Detox. My man's in them. Tino. From Dayton. Kaleem's not playing, but hey, we still holding it down. Still going to be right. Action-packed, fun-filled, spine-tingling, swashbuckling, rip-roaring, hoot-hollering, good time.
Word. Good things.
We need y'all there. Tickets are on sale right now. Get them. You can get them at the door. As of right now, it's not sold out. But we think it's going to be a good crowd. So get your tickets early to ensure that you can get there. We will be there selling merch, among other things. Kissing babies, shaking hands, the Super Duty crew. And we'd like to see y'all out there, man. It's been a long time since we've done this in Columbus.
Very long time.
Logic had a show, and that was December? Was that December or November?
Yep, December.
Yep. He had a show in December, and now we have this joint coming up. And so, you know, Waitlist is back. Waitlist is doing a thing, man. We coming out the crevices.
Yeah, coming out from under the rocks, you know, behind the scenes.
Yeah,
you
know. Yeah, we was lurking, you know, we was watching, keeping... We never left. You know what I mean? We never left. Right. We just fell back. Like, let me peep the scene. You know what I'm saying? And so what we hear, but we, you know, we want y'all to participate. Illogic has got a beat set coming up the 12th. Or is that 11th?
Yep. April 12th. We got Vibe Society at Rehab Tavern.
Yep.
I am hosting. Mm-hmm. We got Mayhem on the ones and twos. Mm-hmm. And then we got a host of producers, my man Jay Swiffer gonna be there.
Mm-hmm.
We got some my homie Stylitix from Cincinnati, mm-hmm. Jay Hill from Cincinnati,
mm-hmm.
Negus Garvey here from Columbus, 81 Sounds. You know, we got some hitters.
Amazing.
We got some hitters.
Yeah, if you're for the production, you should be at this event.
Yes.
If you could from Columbus, you should be going to check out all these Vibe Society events. They got an Instagram profile.
Yep. Now, Vibe Society 614.
Yep, follow them. And come check out some of their events. They're usually free.
Yep.
And so, come out, bring a friend. And so today, after the long intro, y'all know we give y'all the long intros when we've been gone.
Right.
So this was a long one. So today's show is one we have been talking about doing for several weeks amongst each other. And today's topic is about projects that we never released. Why? Because we were too scared.
Yeah.
This is something that should resonate with every fucking artist who listens to this show. Because I guarantee you, you have some projects that you know damn well should have came out. But you got cold feet. Maybe there was one thing that threw you off. Maybe it was just you tripping, being too critical. Who knows? But in this episode, we're going to talk about three projects we had that we were too scared to release. And we're going to talk about what the projects were, why we were too scared, or what happened. And then we're going to talk about, like, is it still going to drop? Is it over? What's going to happen? What are we going to do now that we've had this public conversation about the shit? And, you know, if you're at home, I implore you to think about this as you listen to this episode, and hopefully you will learn something, and hopefully it will inspire you to you know, get them projects out there. So we'll take a break and we'll be right back.
Word.
We got you stuck off the realness, the most infamous, you heard of us, official podcast murderers. The show comes equipped with viewpoints to share, grown man ideas for all those who care and want to grow. So go ahead and download every single week with a brand new episode. You're not alone in this world, cousin, so we share information and honest discussion and keep repping a culture like we supposed to. They spread gossip, but they never come close to. I can hear it inside their tone. They talk about the industry but never left their home. You get laced up with bullet points and such, plus empowering topics that they never would touch. You can put your whole network against a team, but Super Duty Tough Work's the MVP. Most valuable podcast on MP3. Priceless info, but all of it's free. So take these words home and think them through. Super Duty Tough Work is coming at you. Now listening to Super Duty Tough Work with your host, Blueprint. Raw and uncut, adult conversations, no shucking, no jiving, and no bullshit.
Super Duty Tough Work, back folks. Printnificence, the logic. Today we're talking about projects we were too scared to release. Y'all know this all too well. I know I'm not speaking to a bunch of people who put out everything they do. Y'all not fooling us. We know who y'all are. You got some dope projects you've released, but you got just as many dope ones sitting on that hard drive.
Yep.
You got shit that every day you think, damn, why ain't I drop this? Why ain't I make this? I could have made 10 of these by now. I'm such a fucking wimp. That's what you be saying to yourself. This episode's for you because you're going to listen to two fucking wimps talk about why they were too fucking scared to drop certain shit. Who's going to go first? You want to go first? You want me to go first?
I can go first.
Okay. Logic, get in your bag.
All right. Well, the first thing is I've always thought about to breathe new life in the projects that are older. Mm-hmm. I've always thought about doing videos for old songs.
Mm-hmm.
But I always get scared to do it because I'm like, people ain't gonna care. Like, this album is, you know, 5 years old. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Even though it's the anniversary, you know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? Like, should I spend the money and time to do a video for a song that's been out for 5-10 years, you know?
Yeah.
And I had the idea for multiple times. I mean, we've even talked about, you know, because the 20-year anniversary of Celestial Clockwork is this year.
Yes.
And I've even mentioned to you about doing a video for a song off of there. And maybe that'll get some traction. I don't know. Yeah. But I'm always leery of going back and mm-hmm. you know, taking an old record, taking an old song and doing a video for, you know, because I don't think the people would care as much. Like, yeah. You know, oh, it's not new. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, I've had that thought too with songs. Yeah. I've definitely had it off of songs with 1988 because that was before we was really into, that was anything pre-YouTube, right?
Right, right.
I think those are the projects we look back sometimes like, damn, I could have just made music videos for that, John.
Right.
So I'm kind of with you on this one. I've had thoughts about doing one for like Boombox.
Yeah.
But I'm always like, do people give a fuck? Like,
right. Do I want to take the time? The album is old, you know.
Yeah, it's funny because you know what's messed up, man? It's messed up that we don't even give people a chance to decide.
Yeah, we don't. I mean, we take it into our own hands because like you said, we scared, man.
We scared. That is some scared dialogue. That is some fucked up inner dialogue. Like, look, I'm going to tell myself that they don't want to see this shit without even trying it.
Yep.
Gosh, that's awful. But it's so true, though. We do it like, they don't want to hear this shit.
Yep.
They going to be like, why are you putting out this old shit?
Yep.
Why? Then I'm going to be wondering, why I spend money making this motherfucking video and they don't even care about this shit? Yeah. And it's like, by the time we get done talking to ourselves about it, the idea is dead in the water.
Right, yeah. We talked ourselves out of it. Now we like, that was a dumbass idea anyway. Like, right. Why are we thinking that shit? Yeah.
Right. We done had a whole conversation between yourself and yourself.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm thinking about this. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Like some old two-faced shit. Yeah, that's a messed up one, man. And
I wonder what the people think. Like in the comments, in the comment section, let us know. Do you think artists should, you know, maybe breathe life into old projects by doing videos for older songs, older projects? Yeah. Would you guys care? You know what I mean?
You know what? My opinion now has started to change.
Mine too.
Simply due to like social media now, reels, YouTube, and just having content in general. You and I know that like to keep the conversation going, you have to have content, right?
Right.
And so now we know more than ever, like, yeah, the material is old, but you can spark another conversation by having something like this more than you can by just saying, hey, it's on Spotify.
Right.
Hey,
right.
It's on YouTube.
Right.
If you actually invest in it, people get more interested in it again. We know this shit, but we still be tripping.
Yeah. Because I like the thing that has, you know, got me on the other side of it lately is just thinking to myself, it would be dope if so-and-so did a video for this song that I used to love.
Mm-hmm.
And it would make me, you know, it'd be nostalgic. You know what I'm saying? Even though it's a new video, it's still an old song. It's still a classic song. I would enjoy it. So why wouldn't my fans enjoy it? You know what I mean?
It's true.
Yeah. For a long time, I didn't even have that conversation. It was just like, nobody want to see this shit. Nobody. Nobody want to hear this.
Hater, man. You're a hater.
Hating on myself.
Yeah, that's funny, man. That's a real one. That's a real one. So what are you thinking now? Where are you leaning it towards now?
I actually I wanted to discuss something with you about doing some things. Yeah, because like I said, this is the 20-year anniversary year of Celestial Clockwork. So you know, I got some special things planned for this year. And, you know, I wanted to talk to you about maybe, you know, brushing off some of the, you know, some of the old joints, and maybe getting a camera in front of a song or two.
Hey, let's rap about it. Well, let's rap about it, because one of us got to do it,
right?
So that the other person does it. That's how this shit is.
Right, we got to see that it works. Somebody got to step on the ledge,
right? Either you got to do it, and then I'm gonna get hyped, like, oh shit, I'm gonna do it now, or I gotta do it, and you get hyped.
Yeah,
but somebody gotta go first. That's really what it's coming down to at this point, because we both are thinking like, nobody wants to see this shit, man. Then somebody will do it. You're like, damn, people love that shit. Why not do it?
Yep.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. So let me look at my list of topics of things that I did not release. Okay. So this first one I'm going to name is a big one. The first one that I'm going to name is the Shepherd Albertson singing project. And I know you knew this was going to be on the list.
I knew it was on the list because I've been waiting for it. I've had it for a minute now.
A minute. So like, for those who don't know, like years ago, probably back when I first started working on Adventures in Counterculture, I kind of created this little alter ego, which was just for like my singing shit. And so I just would make demos. And when I first started working on it, I was like, yo, I don't know if I'm ready to produce it. My question wasn't really the songwriting. It was more like, can I produce this to the level that I need to? And so then I was like, okay, let me become a better producer, which is some of the skills that I've learned now, you know, playing more. And back then I felt almost like if I made something really crazy, it was kind of like lightning in a bottle. It wasn't because I had this process,
right,
that I followed every time and I could get the same results. So right. That made me very hesitant about doing something like that. And then as a producer, I didn't feel like I was quite ready. But I was like, okay, I'm just going to do, you know, 20, 30 demos, you know, try to fill a CD full of demos. Then I did that. Then I went off and rapped some more. Then I did a bunch of other stuff and I just kept coming back to it. Then I left it alone. Then I started driving a truck and I was not rapping. I was like, let me just fuck with this some more. So I started working, driving a truck, and then I started writing all over again because I would just ride around, listen to soul music all day and shit and not mm-hmm. rap. So it's like, and then now more than ever, I'm just like, yo, why'd you ever put this shit out?
Yeah, because it's basically done. It's been done for a while.
It don't make no fucking sense. I'm almost embarrassed to admit it, that it's like there's enough there to where I could literally just sit down for a week and just mix a single, drop it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, it's at that stage. Sequence yeah. it, drop it. You know, it's not like in some conceptual stage. I got to write songs. It's like, if people knew I could burn a CD and have like an hour of just Shepard Albertson songs, and people like, yep. damn, this shit ain't never, what the fuck going on with this shit? And I think part of it was just fear of not seeing myself as a singer. That's the number one thing.
Yep.
If you don't see yourself as a singer, it's hard to move in that lane aggressively.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a lot of it has just been the lack of confidence.
Yeah.
Even though I listen to the music and I'm like, I think this is ready.
Yeah.
I think this is, you know, like I listen to it now and I'm like, and sometimes I'll take breaks from it. I have to take breaks from it because I'll overthink it. But when I revisit it, I'm like, it's all you at this point.
Yeah. Cause it's some fire on there. You know, yeah. There's some joints that I think would really resonate with people and get stuck in people's heads, have them singing along and shit. Because the thing is, like, the thing about us, like, we not fucking, you know, we not Chris Brown. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But cats know music well, and cats can carry a tune pretty damn good. You know yeah. what I'm saying? Like, so, and we can sing. I mean, you know, I think it's just the fear. You
yeah.
know, I think it's just a fear of stepping into that world because that's a whole different artistic world for us. And how will yeah. our fans, you know, take it? And how will people in general take it? They used to be rapping. They don't want to hear this shit. Like yeah. same idea, same thought, you know, process. Nobody want to hear me sing, you know?
Yeah. I think part of me too is it has that fear just due to like the counterculture. Some of the negative feedback I got on, you know how they say when you can get 10 people who love your shit, but you only remember the one who hated it.
Right, right.
The one criticism you remember more than the praise. And I think part of me still be having that thought, like, damn, is it going to be the same thing all over again?
Mm-hmm.
But then I'm like, no, that's why you do it under a different name.
Right.
That's why you decided to name it Shepard Albertson, because you can avoid the people who ain't there for that.
Right, you can do something different, and they're not expecting it to be what Blueprint does.
Exactly, and that's my fucking catch, my thing. So it's been a long time. Like, I've got enough material. All I literally have to do is I also heard is that, you know, with the pandemic and me not releasing no rap records in 6 years, it pushed everything back.
Right,
because even at the point, there's points I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna drop some of this shit. You realize, wait a minute, it's been 3, 4, 5, fucking almost 6 years since I dropped a record. I can't just come out here with that first.
Right, right, right.
So that pushes that back, and I got to get this back. So it's like all these things happen. I think what I would like anybody listening to this to understand is like, there's never a perfect time, man.
Nope, you just got to jump out there and do it. You just got to do it. Yeah.
And what's crazy is like, you looking for a perfect time, you might not realize that the time you got right now might be the perfect time.
Yep.
Because you don't know what's going to happen in the future. Like, none of us foresaw what happened from 2020 to 2022.
Nope, not at all.
We didn't see no fucking shit getting shut down like that and the whole industry being shook up. Unforeseen, unpredictable. You know what I'm saying? And so what happens is it shifts everything that's going on around you. And life happens like that, just like that does. That's at a macro level. At a micro level, shit happens to you as a person where you can't resume or approach certain projects with the same energy you did.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it could be a year for you. You never know. People go back to school. People have families. People relocate. People have, you know what I'm saying? Just all kind of shit happen. Personal tragedy. The time you thought wasn't a good time, sometimes it actually might have been the perfect time for that project.
Yeah.
And I think that is something that I have to always remember. And I would like anybody listening to this to think, because like, it ain't just about talent. You may think your talent is enough to just get this shit done and get it out, but it ain't. You got to understand timing. Timing sometimes more important than talent.
Yeah, very much so.
You know, so I fucked up the timing as far as like what I thought wasn't a good time was probably actually a good time. And
yeah.
Now I'm like, okay, let me just focus on getting all of my shit out. Commit to a release schedule so that in getting everything out, I will naturally be able to get this out. But I'm still embarrassed that not even a fuck, I ain't even dropped a fucking single. I done been on Atmosphere Records. I done been on Felt Records, Singing Hooks. All these fucking alley-oops that people done thrown Shepard Albertson. And he ain't dunked the shit yet. He's like, yo, man, we throwing you oops every time down. Like, all you got to do is.
Yeah.
People be having me, hey, man, come sing the hook on this. I done sang mad hooks and shit's like.
Yeah, it's the fear.
It's the fear. So he's too afraid to let that shit out. Let me, we'll take a break and we'll be right back.
Where?
Quick announcement. Over the years, we've frequently been asked by the listeners of our show if we would ever open up our platform to the public for advertising. We've always been interested in doing it, but in the past, we never had the systems in place to make it work properly. I'm proud to announce that we are now officially accepting advertising from the public on Super Duty Tough Work. Meaning, if you are a business owner or an artist and would like to create more awareness about your product, service, or release on our platform, we're now in a position to be able to do that. For more information, email us at superdutytoughwork@waitlist.net. That's superdutytoughwork@waitlist.net. Tell us a little bit about who you are, what you would like to promote, and we'll get back to you as soon as possible about whether it's a good fit and go from there. Thanks for your time. Back to the show. Are you an artist who has the talent to succeed but has a hard time executing? Do you have the will to win but lack the plan? Are you tired of having great ideas that never come to fruition, or starting new projects but never finishing them? If you answered yes to any of these questions, reach out to me at superdutytoughwork@waitlist.net to book a one-on-one coaching call. Tell me a little bit about who you are, what you're trying to do, and I'll see if I can be of service to you. Have a great day.
All right, folks, we're back. Super Duty Tough Work, the most infamous podcast on planet Earth. Blueprint, the logic. This week we are talking about projects that we were too scared to release. I hope you guys are finding this entertaining and inspiring, and I hope that it's lighting a fire under your ass.
Yeah.
Because as prolific and as talented as our fans may think we are, this is kind of like the shit we don't talk about.
Yeah, this is every day. This is every year, you know. We always creating, but y'all hear probably maybe 10-15% of everything that we do.
Straight up, man. Okay, so let's get to the number two. What's your number two?
Actually, it's similar to the Shepard Albertson, because I have like a hip hop blues record that I've been working on for like 10 years.
Damn, I ain't even like, know about this shit.
Exactly. Like, since I started producing, because I sing too, you know what I'm saying? And it's like a sing-songy kind of bluesy sounding joint. I got like 5 songs done.
Yeah.
And they just been sitting. I've just been tweaking them for like ever, you know? And it's the it, and you know it's something I'm scared of when you ain't even heard of.
That's what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying? I ain't never. This is my first time hearing about this project, bro. I talk to you literally all the time. You ain't never told me nothing about this.
Yeah, like there's on some real shit. There's like 3 people on the planet Earth that know about this project.
Your wife is one of them.
She's one of them. But yeah, like I've been working on these songs and this style, and I really like it.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things like, what the fuck does that want to hear this? You know what I'm saying? Like, and I'm trying to think. Also, I know I don't want to release it under Illogic because it's not a No Logic project.
Good call.
So, you know, I've been trying to figure out, you know, names and all this stuff, you know, that I've set up as a roadblock for me not to release this joint, not to finish it, because I'm not done with it. But, you know, I go back and I might, you know, re-record vocals here and, you know, produce out the beat a little more here and shit like that. But yeah, I've just been sitting on it. I ain't told nobody. Now everybody know. It's like, yo, what's this? You know, but yeah, that's a scary one for me.
Like the Jawar Glassenstein album.
Yeah, something like that.
Jay Glassenstein or some shit like that. You gotta come with a name just so you can. The name does help.
Because
you know, releasing under the Logic, we know we gonna get some kickback for that.
Yeah, because on some real shit, like I wasn't going to tell nobody and I was just going to come up with a name and just release it, like create a whole nother persona, whole nother Instagram page, everything, and just release it and not tell nobody it's me and see what happens. You know what I'm saying? And I can still do that because don't nobody really know, you know, once I do it, this might be out of sight, out of mind. You never know.
Yeah. So, be on the lookout for that Jay Glassenstein 2025 is coming.
It's coming. That heat.
You know what I mean? You don't. Now you know. If you see it, this is a Logic. It's blues record. That's funny as shit. That's wild though. Yeah. So you feel my pain on that one.
Yeah. The fear, man. The fear is real. You know, when you're so good at something, and you take a detour to do something else that's similar but not similar, you know, because it's still music, it's still vocal, you know, but we're not doing what we're known for. We're not doing what we're proficient already in, and, you know, everybody knows that we're good at. We're stepping out on a ledge to do something completely different. And it's petrifying, man. It's scary as hell.
Yeah, I agree, man. Yeah, this is making me now. I don't feel so bad about my shit now because I'm like, you know what, man? This, how many people would do? Like, I've taken some chances in my career.
Yep.
And that's the crazy things. Like, but there's still places I'm hesitant to just go. Like,
yep.
Like, I remember what people don't understand is like when we talk about this shit. Like, it's from experience. Like, I remember when I put out The Weight Room instead of like a proper solo album.
Mm-hmm.
People were pissed because I was coming off the Soul Position shit, and then I put out The Weight Room, which is two solo songs, and then I'm featured on maybe half the songs, just like a production record. It was never meant to be my solo record. People were pissed. Then I pissed them off even more by putting out Chamber Music after that. Man, pissed. Then by the time I got there, okay, thank you,
finally.
Finally, you fucking rap and do what we wanted you to do. But it's like, then counterculture. I've had these periods where I took a detour. And sometimes you when you realize, like, yo, man, you're known for something. If you do something different, you better be prepared for this shit.
Yeah.
Every artist don't want to go through that shit. Sometimes we just want to put out shit and be loved and enjoyed and, like, not feel like motherfuckers hate us for doing some shit that we had fun making. We loved doing.
Yeah. I had to deal with that with just doing Diabolical Fun as a follow up to Celestial Clockwork, even though it was 5-6 years later.
Yeah.
Like, you know, doing a record that was up tempo, bright, you know, not depressing and sad and dark. People were pissed off. People were pissed at me.
Because your signature sound. Like, if you drop a classic record and then you go the opposite direction right after that. It ain't going to end well on the feedback side of things.
Yeah, it's not. It's not. It's going to get dark real
yeah,
quick.
Yeah, you better just stay away from the feedback. Just drop yep. it and keep it pushing. Don't do no, don't, Like, motherfuckers cuss me out for counterculture. Mm. Like, I done seen motherfuckers get pissed. What the fuck? What the fuck's this shit? I seen fucking Ryan Sayers post, that was the 10-year anniversary, or whatever. The anniversary of counterculture came out this day, whatever, 13 years ago. Thread, nothing but positive feedback. I'm like, where are you motherfuckers at when it's dropped? It wasn't like that when it's dropped.
Right, right, right.
It was not 100%, oh, this is a classic. This is regular, this is amazing. I was like, where were you motherfuckers? When this shit came out, y'all was like, hell nah.
Yeah. That's the thing, though, about pushing boundaries and stepping outside of yourself. Because right when you do it,
yeah,
ain't nobody ready. Cats ain't ready. They are not ready for you to not be who they have in this box.
Yeah.
And then you step outside of that box and it takes them a few years. You know what I'm saying? It takes 13. Them, you know, 3, 10, 5, whatever. It takes them years to catch up and see like, oh, this motherfucker was doing something, you know, wild and crazy back then. You know yeah. what I'm saying? So I think that's one of the things that we have to keep in mind, too, as artists, is that, you know, everything that we do right away is not going to be taken, you know, as, oh, this shit is classic right off the bat. Sometimes it's going to take some time and some, yes. you know, people are going to have to get either used to us being there or new people discover the shit and they're like, yo, this shit is crazy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
Because, yeah, that was definitely a moment. I was like, man, I don't usually be looking at the feedback on the post. I'm like, I wonder what people are saying about this record now.
Right.
100%. This is incredible. I love this. You did fucking not. You lying. Right. You was talking shit. Where was you at? I needed you in 2011. Mm-hmm. You should have been in there telling people this in 2011. They was crucifying me for this fucking album. But, hey, it's good that a motherfucker went with his gut.
Yeah.
Because I guess, like you're saying, the test of time is a true test.
Yep. Yep.
You know, yep. My biggest crime was being too early.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Because people don't realize that was before 808s, right?
It was, well.
Well, when you were working on it.
Yeah, I was working on it before.
You were
then.
Working on it before.
808s
then.
Came out, and that was actually what was the catalyst for that record getting released. I don't right. think Adventures Counterculture would have came out had 808s not come out.
Yeah.
Because the conversation was not, hey, this record is great. We ready to put it. The conversation was, this record is great. We don't know how to market it because there's nothing like it.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't know what to do with this. You know what I'm saying? Like, is it a hip hop record? Is it a pop record? Is it, you know, what is it? What is it? Yeah. Yeah.
And that record came out and then it was like, oh, yeah. Okay. We get it now.
Yeah.
We get it. Kanye just did that. Okay. We think we can find some people. We can find this audience, you know, but.
Mm-hmm.
So it was literally like the same time, but I was sitting around waiting on something like that to happen. That thing happened in his record table. I was like, okay, y'all seeing this? Yeah, we see it now. We see it. Okay, cool. Let's get this record out, right?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, my number two thing. I had a documentary I was working on about digging several years ago. It was actually... I got my first camera in 2011. And I was on tour and I immediately started working on a film about digging, about people who bought records, why they bought them, why they loved them, and the future of vinyl. And looking back now, my ambition was very high, but my skills as a storyteller in film were not quite there.
Yeah.
So the scope of what I was trying to do, it ended up being way too big. But I was really on to something. And if I would have kind of stuck with it little by little, I think I could have finished it. I ended up kind of getting discouraged because I couldn't pull the story together. And that was actually supposed to be my first film. And the reason, and so I got discouraged about that. Then I started trying to help other people with their films to try to figure out what I didn't know.
Right.
Okay. Maybe
right.
I need to work with other people. Then they weren't even as serious as I was, and that shit didn't go well. So I was like, all right, let me go back and by then I was like, I'll make one about King No Crown. And that's how the King No Crown movie came about. It came about because the first film I tried to make, I kind of stalled out, got discouraged, and kind of let it sit. Because I didn't know how to move the story or how to pull the story together as a storyteller. And this was before I had sat down and was like, okay. Now, years later, around 2015 is when I said, okay, I'm going to put together a curriculum. I realized the holes in my game and that I need to do the same shit that people go to film school do.
Right.
So that's when I started buying books heavily on filmmaking, reading heavily, practicing concepts, studying stories, you know, plot, tension, all these things, that conflict that I didn't know before.
Mm-hmm.
Doing that is what made me see that, because I was about to fuck up King No Crown 2. And then I saw like, yo, the reason this ain't coming together is because you don't have no conflict. You don't have no central event. And then we went on tour and the fucking accident happened. I was like, oh, that's all it was missing. That's why this film wasn't done. Included that in it, and then it was a movie. Now, after bumping my head 3 or 4 times trying to make a movie for then, I saw that now by the time I came back to the vinyl, the one about digging, the hard drive had crashed.
Mm.
All them hours of footage gone. All those interviews gone. So what I learned later on, it's like I had this regret, almost like, dude, you should have still been moving that forward. You should at least save that, put it somewhere to where you can revisit it later when you know what you need to know to finish it.
Right.
And man, a lot of it was fear of like people picking it apart. You know, I was scared. In some degree, I was scared to edit my thoughts.
Yeah.
You know, because we know how it is. Like, we make a bunch of stuff, and sometimes we're scared to, you know, what do they call it in film? In film, I think they call it killing your babies or some shit like that. Killing your something. Just like, yeah, they call it like killing your kids or something. To where it's like, there's a term for it in film. But it's basically when you have this thing, all this footage and all this shit, but you're scared to fucking edit it to make the hard decisions about whittling it down to a digestible size for the viewer.
Yeah.
That fear paralyzed me, because if I didn't have that fear, I'd have been making faster decisions, even not knowing the answers. Like, sometimes you don't have to know the answers. Sometimes you find the answers as you start editing.
Yeah.
I didn't know that then. I thought that you had to know before you edit. You had to have it all figured out. Then you sit down and edit according to your plan of attack. But that's not really how I've worked since then. What I learned since then is like, there are certain things that have to do with film that you literally don't know till you start doing them.
Yeah.
You don't know how to shoot in the room. You know how it is. Lighting. We don't know how to light shit till we get into space.
Right. Exactly.
We get into space. We look around. We look at the angles, we look at the available light, we think, we talk about it. Certain things change, certain things we realize we don't need, certain things we need. And then we make decisions, the best decision right then and there. And for those of you who saw, like, we dropped a behind the scenes thing on the Weightless YouTube this week for the last music video, you can kind of see us doing that. We're figuring it out. Right. Shot by Illogic, you know, props to my man. And I edited it. But it's like, now I've adopted some shit with video where, like, I don't think when I edit, because I know what paralyzes me. And so when I look at film, whatever my initial thought is, I just do it. Because I now learned to trust myself and to know that just make one good decision at a time. And that will lead to the next good decision. It's not about knowing all the answers. You get to something you don't know, you make the best decision, and then it leads you to the next step, then you make the best decision. I was paralyzed to do that in film for a while. I thought I had to have it all figured out, and you don't. And now when I look at something of mine or someone else's, I immediately just think, boom, 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 boom. This is what I think. This is what I would do. This is where it should go. And it's so much more instinctual now that I work really fast now, you know, versus the past. But I didn't have that. And I basically feel like I lost the whole film because I couldn't make the hard decisions
Yeah.
I had like 4 or 5 years to make hard decisions and I couldn't.
Yeah, the thing that's scary about film is you want to make sure that visually everything is captivating, that visually everything it is tight, is sharp. You want to make sure you got the right scene for that mm-hmm. particular part of the song or part of the movie. And it can be very difficult if you are thinking too much, you know. Sometimes you have to have faith in your ability to shoot good, mm-hmm. you know, in the first place, to where whatever scene I put here, whatever clip I put here, the footage is dope. So I don't have to worry about that part.
Right.
And that, you know, once you're comfortable in that, it allows you to make quicker decisions as far as the edit goes. I'm really discovering that more now these days. So film is a very difficult thing because it's another, you know, another one of those situations where us stepping into places where, you know, we're not as, you know, proficient, as strong, mm-hmm. you know. And when you started, you know, working on that that vinyl documentary, you didn't have the knowledge that you have now. You didn't right. have, you know, the stuff under your belt that you have now. So back then, it was probably a lot more difficult for you to make decisions because you're venturing into something completely new,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you don't have as much knowledge in it. So, yeah, that's a real hard one, you know. But with what you know now, I think if you did it now,
yep,
I think it would be, you know, 1,000 times better than it would have been back then if you would have finished it. But at least you would have finished it. I think the idea is still a strong idea that, you know, maybe you should look into pursuing, you know, yeah. at some point.
Yeah, I and to add on to that, that's exactly where I'm at right now. Like right yeah. now, it's like I can look back like, okay, you just didn't know what you needed to know then. You didn't have the confidence then. You had the ambition, which is like a very important thing. Like a lot of my ambition is just like next level.
Oh, yeah.
But I'll jump into some shit that I don't know what the fuck I'm doing yet because I'm like, I know that I'll eventually get there. But what I found with that was like, yeah, my ambition, I needed some technical know-how and some experience with that.
Yeah.
With the hardest parts of filmmaking, which is not picking up the camera. It's story.
Yeah. Yep.
Story is the hardest part of the shit because at the end of the day, people are watching it. You have to keep them engaged. And if you can't tell a story well, no matter if you shoot it on a $5,000 camera or a $50 camera, no one cares.
Mm-hmm.
And now, yeah, I want to pick back up that idea. And there's other ideas I had at that time where I'm like, okay, now that I'm back to doing this full time and I know the plan on this side of things, of music, I'm going to start messing with film more again. And, yeah. you know, just doing the music videos like we did a couple weeks ago, directing again, like they're starting to come together. And I'm starting to see in myself where like everything is just happening faster. It's like,
yeah,
like that behind the scenes thing I did. It's like 15 minutes, I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
I probably edited that thing in 30 minutes, one take.
Yeah.
Did not pause. Didn't, because every time I thought about stopping, I said, don't think, cut. Yeah. Don't think, yeah. do. And for the first time, it was just like, bam, 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 put this here, bam, bam, bam. Oh, this one worked there, boom, move there, boom, insert, boom, didn't work, boom, boom, boom. No thoughts, no leaving, coming back 2 days later, staring at right. it, picking it yeah. apart. But what if that transition ain't perfect? Who gives a fuck? Do it. And in yeah. doing so, now my speed is up because my confidence is up and I'm not thinking about it. But that shit kind of helped me back for a while. And now I kind of feel like I'm seeing it. I had the ambition, but now I think my talent and is starting to catch up to it on the film side.
Right.
And so, yeah, that's number two. We'll take a break and we'll be right back with the last one.
Work.
What's up, everybody? Got some big news to share with you all today. I'm proud to announce that for the first time, I will be opening up my artist coaching and consulting services to the public. I have been doing it for several years behind the scenes, helping artists and small businesses achieve their goals, but it's never been something that I made publicly available, nor anything that I promoted until now. So, if you're an artist or a small business owner, I'm now available to be booked for one-on-one sessions designed to help you achieve your goals as quickly and as efficiently as possible. If this is something that you're interested in, email me at superdutytoughwork@waitlist.net. Tell me a little bit about yourself, and we'll get the ball rolling from there. I look forward to working with you all. Peace. This is your weekly reminder that we have two books that you, as a listener or watcher of this podcast, need to absolutely own. The first is The 10 Traits of Successful Hip Hop Artists, and the second is The Social Media Cheat Code. Both of these books were released within the last year. The 10 Traits of Successful Hip Hop Artists is a book where I go through the stories and explain the traits that are behind the success of some of the biggest names in hip hop today. The book has got nothing but amazing feedback. And if you are an artist, business person, whatever you do, if you would like to be inspired and would like to learn more about hip hop along the way and also see some reinforcement of the concepts that we talk about on this podcast, The 10 Traits of Successful Hip Hop is for you. Second book is The Social Media Cheat Code. That is for everyone who listens to this podcast who does not consider themselves an expert or really good at social media. It's not for super experienced people. It's actually for people who are on social media but are not getting the results you need. So what we did is I broke down like 12 or 13 strategies that I use all the time that actually work really well for me. I put it into book. I gave you examples and I tell you how to implement it. That's a book you absolutely need as a listener to this podcast, watcher of this podcast. If you're on YouTube, supporting these books actually goes a long way towards supporting the podcast. So to support the show, if you like what we do, obviously we don't necessarily get paid to do this shit. So support the products and services that we create. And these two books are a big part of that. We appreciate your support. And back to the show. We back, folks. Super Duty Tough Work. Printnificence. Logic. This week we're talking about projects we were too scared to release. Sheesh. Last one. It's on you, sir.
Well, my last one was, because when I released the Autopilot album, this is when I was, you know, I had got laid off from my job. My wife had, she was diagnosed with cancer, lost her job. So I was home and doing music full time. And this was pandemic time. Mm-hmm. So I was doing a lot of stuff. I was, and I was finishing the Autopilot record. And it was the first record I was going to be releasing that I produced, you know, myself. So I had the idea to do a whole behind the scenes, you know, group of content of, you know, behind the beat, you know, the whole process of me making beats, what brought me into, you know, the idea of doing a record, produce myself, all that stuff. And between time and again, fear, you know, that people wouldn't want to hear all of that stuff, you know, I just didn't do it. I recorded mm-hmm. some things about, you know, song breakdowns and even beat breakdowns, things like that. But I felt like it was boring when I watched it back, mm-hmm. and I didn't want to dampen what I had going on for the Autopilot campaign at the time, because I was doing my beats and B-sides. I was doing a lot of stuff that was bringing attention to the campaign, and I didn't want to do something that I wasn't confident in and sure about, you know, to take away from it. So I ended up shelving the idea, because originally I wanted to do a video for every song on the record. Mm-hmm. I had recorded, you know, back, you know, behind the scenes stuff of me recording the songs. I had, you know, all kind of shit that I did not use during the campaign because I was worried about the impact that it would have or lack thereof.
Yeah.
So, and to this day, I think, you know, like, especially watching you release your behind the scenes stuff, because a lot of the stuff that you're doing is exactly the kind of ideas that I had. Like, y'all could talk through this beat, show them the breakdown of the samples I use, blah, 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 blah. And now watching your shit, I'm like, damn, I should have did that shit because this shit is working. You know what I'm saying? Like, this shit is working and it looks good and it gives multiple layers to the project.
Yeah.
You know, people can understand the project inside and out and kind of get in the head of you as the artist creating it from the ground up. And, you know, especially the reason that I thought about it at the time, thinking about it now, was it was the first time I was doing something like that. It was the first time I was producing my own record. People didn't even know me as a producer yet. So that idea would have made it interesting by itself.
Yeah.
You know, just the fact that I'm venturing into something that people aren't, I'm not known for, people don't, you know, aren't used to me doing. And, you know, the beats are good. It's not like I'm making whack beats. It's not like, you know, the album is whack or anything. I was just scared because it was something new and I didn't think people wanted to hear that from me. And now looking back, I'm like, I missed the opportunity, you know, there.
You know, for those of you at home, this text that you sent me about that is why
episode. Yep, this is why we did this episode, yep.
Because, yeah, when I put out the first Behind the Beat thing, you were one of the first people to text me like, yo, damn, this shit looks dope. I should have did it. I'm pissed because I had a bunch of these and I was scared to release them. Now, I should have done it.
Yep.
And, yeah, that shit is deep. That shit is deep because, yeah, you were making a lot of shit back then and you were fucking with the camera heavy too.
Yeah.
So it was kind of, it would have been a natural thing. And some of that is, you know, I had the exact same, like my number three thing is actually that. Mm-hmm. But it's the only one that's got a different outcome than the other ones. Like for years, I was afraid to put out any production related material.
Yeah.
Because in my mind, I'm not necessarily the biggest fan of watching production related material.
Yep.
Like I can't sit down and watch dudes play beats for hours on end. I can't sit down and watch a dude the whole process of making a beat for an hour. I just find it to be kind of like unappealing to me.
Mm-hmm.
Not that it's not important. It's just, I would rather just get the highlights of that because I'm a producer. I just want to hear how you got there. I don't want to hear like the stumbling and falling and the coming back. It's like, that's the least fun part of the process for me. I don't need to hear nobody else go through it.
Right, right.
So I was like, nobody want to see this shit. Nobody want to hear this shit. So for years, I would just not do it. Mm-hmm. Y'all don't want to hear that. Y'all don't want to hear that. And like you said, eventually, someday, you're just like, let me just try it.
Yeah.
Let me just try it. And as we pointed out in the first segment, sometimes the worst thing you do is like we speak on behalf of people that we ain't even asked their opinion yet.
Yeah, we make decisions for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Like put it out and see what the people think. Mm-hmm. See what the feedback is before you decide they don't want to hear it. Let them decide they don't want to hear it by not watching it, by not giving you feedback on it, by not commenting on it, by ignoring it. You know? I say, man, we don't care about this. That's how they show you they don't care.
Right.
So, yeah, that when I did that for the first time, it opened my eyes because I was like, this is just an experiment.
Mm-hmm.
If motherfuckers don't fuck with it, I'm not doing it again. And then I saw all the positive feedback from the people who really are interested in that shit. It ain't the same amount of people who want to hear us rap. We know that.
Right, right.
But I had been very hesitant to do any production-related content because to me, I felt like people weren't interested in it. And it was just fear. Fear of being boring. Fear of revealing parts of my process that might not be efficient or look cool.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because sometimes, like, you know me, I don't have that much gear. I ain't got no gear to impress nobody. I'm trying to sell all my shit and just go to just a very simple setup. But people care about shit like that. People care about how it looks sometimes, having the latest thing. I don't have none of the latest shit.
Yeah.
But I got a process that I think works. But I felt like because I didn't have the bells and whistles, I'd be boring.
Yeah.
You know? And that shit stopped me from doing it. And like, this is one, the only one on this list that I feel like I've turned around.
Yeah.
Because this year I started releasing just like playing beats on dropping beats.
Yeah.
For no reason. Here's a beat flip. I'd never dropped beat flips before. But anybody listens to my music knows I know how to flip samples.
Right.
Like my chops are just very clear. People know I know what the fuck I'm doing, but I never wanted to talk about it or share it. So now, like every week for like the last couple months, I've been dropping like a beat flip. That shit has got everything growing again.
Mm-hmm.
New people are hearing about them, finding them. People are like, yo, man, you should put out just these flips. You should, like, people are into that shit.
Yeah.
And I was telling myself nobody wanted to see that shit.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of shit that we, a lot of things on, and I'm sure we could probably come up with more stuff for this list. But I think the bottom line of all of this shit is just what you said, us making decisions for the people and not even giving them a chance to deny it, say it's not good, or just not ignore it. We're not even giving them a chance because we're talking ourselves out of it before we even make those steps. And I don't think anything we have on our list are bad ideas.
It's just,
you know, getting past the fear.
Getting out of our own way.
Yeah, getting out of our own way. You know, getting past the idea of the unknown and being scared of, you know, taking those steps.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the biggest thing that I'm learning from this is that I got all of this stuff. There's multiple things that I got that I just never released, or I'm like, it ain't time. Like you said, it ain't time for that yet. You know, let me develop this a little more. Let me do this, do that. Nah, just fucking, if it's ready, just do it. Just do it.
And the people will let you know.
Yeah, they'll let you know if they like it or not.
Mm-hmm. That to me is the most disturbing part of it, because it's going to go one of two ways.
Right. It's a 50-50 shot.
50-50 shot. But we ain't even giving it a chance to go. We feel good enough about it to do it and we have fun making it. But then when it's time to release it, we start having this inner dialogue, preemptively telling ourselves that nobody want to hear it.
Yeah.
Instead of just saying, hey, here's a song. I'm putting this out. Y'all tell me what y'all think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Do y'all like it? Do y'all want to hear more? Or just not saying shit, putting it out and just seeing what happens. Do people comment?
Yeah.
Do people share? Do people say, what the fuck is this? I want to hear more.
Mm-hmm.
Or do they ignore it?
Yeah.
People vote with their attention.
Yeah.
Let them do it. If you don't got the answers, you got to get out of the way and let them vote either way. Then if you say I ain't dropping it, you can at least say I tried and no one responded.
Right.
But that's it this week. That's it, folks. You know, we talked about projects that we never dropped because we were too damn scared.
Yeah.
I hope that y'all got something out of this. You know, if you got some projects that fall into these categories, I hope this inspires you to at least get to like the feedback stage of releasing it. You know, the see what people think of your demos or your whatever you got, and to push through it, because there are projects that will slip away from you if you don't release them at a certain time. It'll never get out. So. That's it. And, you know, and be on the lookout for all these projects we spoke about in this episode, because now it's out there. It's out there in the universe. We can't hide no more.
Yeah. People's going to be like, what's up with that?
Exactly.
What's up with this?
Yeah. So that's it for this week. We'll see y'all next week.
All right. Peace.
Peace.
Thank you for listening to Super Duty Tough Work. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Follow the podcast on SoundCloud. Peace.
Shoot, I got styles already that's more complex that nobody know about. I mean, super duty tough work.